Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Anne. And you are listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a podcast and radio show that focuses a lot on infertility, miscarriage, that kind of thing. But we definitely have branched out to cover adoption, foster care, singleness, and lots more. Just when your life is looking a little different than what you've maybe always pictured, and just how the Lord sees you through and then makes the life a whole lot sweeter than what you ever pictured.
Amen. We just want to encourage you guys to cling to Christ in the middle of your journey and know that other people are here with you to encourage you and support you and to point you to Him. Well, I am super excited about our guests today. So, Anne, I was in Kentucky recently and had my little girl. We were at a park and I just heard this voice. I was like, hey, Kendra. And I turned and it was my long lost friends, Megan and Joe Morgan. Megan and Joe, first of all, welcome to Hannah's Heart. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, we're so glad. Look, I have watched your family grow over the years. And as you've shared a little bit about your story, just on Facebook or the unique way that God built your family, the Lord just shines out of both of you. And it's such a beautiful story. And we love having couples come on to share because God never seems to work the same way twice.
Right.
But I feel like no matter who we have on, it is always such an encouragement to couples that are currently just slugging it out and praying through, like, Lord, what is your path going to be for us? And they don't have the answer for it, but they know they have this strong desire to have children. And it's like, how is this all going to work? To hear all of the beautiful and miraculous ways that God works and the way that He sustains couples through that is just such an encouragement. So thank you guys for coming on the show.
Of course.
Thank you.
Well, we want to start with the good stuff. Like, I'm a girl who loves a good Hallmark flick. So tell us real quickly just how you guys met and, you know, like what your expectations were if you wanted to have children going into marriage.
Yeah, we met in college. It was my freshman year and Joe's junior year. So we started dating, and then about a year and a half later, he was in grad school. I was still an undergrad. We got engaged. And then we waited till we were both done with school to get married. And so, yes, children were always in the plan. We didn't have like a strict guideline or anything like that. But especially after we just both graduated from college and graduate school, we wanted to work in our fields for a while. So it really wasn't an immediate thing that we sought. I knew that I would want the opportunity to be able to stay home when we had kids. And that hope seemed to get further and further away all the time. Like, okay, well, I need to work to help support our family, just the two of us financially. So it really wasn't until we were married for, I would say, almost 10 years that that ache and that deep want for a child was there for me. Mm. You know, I think it was, we always wanted kids, but then finally I think it got to the point of, okay, we can't just keep waiting for the perfect time. Mm. We need to try because 10 years is a long time.
So. It's funny, we live in a culture that it used to be that it was the given that you could have, you know, one family, single family income could support a family. And now
not
it's
like
just
that. Right.
So difficult for families. And yet that desire to be a mama and to be able to be at home with your kids is so strong and so important. And we're going to talk about later how the Lord brought that about in your life.
But
first, let's go through the chronology. So 10 years into marriage, and you're like, okay, it's time to try. What happened next?
Right. I should back up a little bit. So I had some medical issues with ovarian cysts that resulted in the removal of one ovary and fallopian tube. That was just some recovery time in that. Our 10th year of marriage, we were ready to go. And then we were trying, but it wasn't happening. But then I developed another cyst on my remaining ovary, and my provider was not comfortable with us trying to still conceive.
Oh, wow.
She wanted to wait until that went away. So that was kind of a big speed bump in that process. And it didn't go away for like 6 months. So I was being monitored. It wasn't as threatening as that first cyst was, but it took a while to go away. So that just kept the timeline going longer than...
You know, it's funny, even though it's just 6 months, once you, that switch flips in your brain and you're like, I'm ready, like a month is as 1,000 years for women.
Yes.
I just feel you.
So after that was gone, we went kind of baby steps, I guess. First Clomid, which didn't work. And then my provider kind of knew our history, in my history of medical issues and things like that. So she is the one who suggested we seek some fertility treatment. And we pursued that with IUIs. And we did that about 4 to 5 months, and it was unsuccessful. And we were out of town doing that, so we were making the drive, a few times a month whenever it was needed. But that did not work either. And that was, for me, I remember thinking, this is the best chance we have. I'm being monitored. These people are experts. It's going to work. And then every time it does not. So it's definitely beyond frustrating. And it's this like hesitant hope. You're constantly hopeful it's going to work out, but then you're hesitant because you don't want to get your hopes up too much.
That's a great way to put that.
And IUI, just for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, Anne and I have shared about our process, but it's intrauterine insemination, and it's it's like having a part-time job because you have
to. It's not a fun appointment.
It's not a fun appointment for either spouse.
No.
And you were driving how far to get to your clinic?
About an hour and a half, one way.
So every month you have this commitment, and they're monitoring you. Was it multiple trips per month, or were they able to monitor part of your cycle from home?
I would say for each round of the IUI, it was
a trip.
Two, maybe. I don't remember exactly all of it, but it wasn't excessive, but it was definitely...
IUIs are like touted as the like less invasive, less expensive, option to IVF, which they are, but
it's still invasive.
It is still a lot of work,
and
it's a lot of mental, physical, emotional strain. I don't know if you had any reactions to Clomid or Letrozole or whatever medicines they put you on, but I know so many women that they're like, I felt like a different person.
I was a different person.
Did it affect you, Megan?
Clomid, not really. I don't think I was, because it feels so long ago now. I did not have a super great effect on it, but I also lived with, well, still do, but went through the after effects of having just one ovary.
So no one
told me to expect an acute mini menopause from that. So maybe it didn't affect me as much because my hormones were probably already a little imbalanced.
Did that affect your ability, like with only having one ovary, were you able to try every month, or did you have to rotate months?
No, what I was told, and all physicians and doctors we met with were always very positive about what they were seeing, and like, you're very fertile. It's just having one ovary can just make it take a little longer.
I got you.
So that was... but there was no, like with the IUIs, you're being monitored by them, and they're kind of forcing ovulation to happen in a way with the different shots and medication that you do. So it was a good 4 to 5 straight months of that. And then when that did not work out, it was kind of the beginning of that year that we decided to suspend that because we weren't going to just keep doing it. So after that, we sought adoption through foster care. So we did all the classes, and those are at the time a few months worth. And then we did a home visit, and we were coming to the end of all that to be an open home. But we decided to just kind of hold off. Part of it was because of my work schedule was starting to get into my busy season. And I thought, to be fair to a child, but also to my employer, I didn't want to take all that on at once. And I wanted to wait until my busy season kind of got over complete that. And I think Joe was kind of wanting to just wait a little bit, because that is a big deal when you're welcoming a foster child into your home.
Yeah, scary stuff.
Yeah,
it's a lot to take on. So that then kind of we were still trying and pursuing our biological child in that it just still was not working. So I shared a little bit on Facebook about our struggle, and a friend from college wrote me privately, and she had told me about a method that was more natural family planning, but that you work with a certified provider that works with this method and process. But they're really helping you learn about your cycle and any underlying causes that may be there. So we met with her, and then we're ready to do that. And that's when I found out I was pregnant.
Oh, wow. Before you even started doing that?
Yeah, we met with them one time.
Wow.
And kind of learned about the process. And then, like a week later, found out I was pregnant. So that's the kind of a quick version of
now,
our first.
Was that method, is that having to do with the charting? And did you know if there's a name for it? Is it the
Yes, it's called NAPRO.
Yeah. So we just recently learned about this on Hannah's Heart, and we had a doctor on to talk about NAPRO.
Oh, cool.
So
Natural
procreative or
reproductive technology.
Reproductive. Thank you. Thank you, man. My brain just stopped. Technology. I think so many of our listeners are interested in that because doctors immediately push you towards IUI and IVF because it is a workaround for a lot of fertility issues, and it can just kind of bypass problems.
Right.
So it's like a, I wouldn't say quick and easy because it's not easy. It's not always quick.
No.
But it's an efficient workaround. But yet, a lot of times it never gets to the root cause of some of the diagnoses of like what is actually causing these women to, you know, to deal with this. And so many of our listeners have been very grateful for just knowing that that exists.
Right.
And it's one that
I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah. And I think especially more mamas are becoming the crunchy mamas that we care about what we put in our bodies. And as we're researching and learning all the toxins that are out there, finding someone that does have that natural approach can be so encouraging. So I just wanted to say to our listeners, go Google it.
Yeah.
NAPRO.
Yeah, there's a whole website dedicated. Yes.
And there's providers all over the country, and there might be some, if there's not one in your area, that could even get you started on a virtual consult to be able to do. And I don't know if it's covered by regular insurance. It needs to be. Yeah. But, of course, regular fertility treatment isn't always either. So
Right. But, yeah. And it feels so long ago. I mean, it was. This was May of 2014. For us, that's when I found out I was pregnant with our older son, and that we had met with her like the week before that. So I'm sure it's grown quite a bit since then.
Let's go backwards just a moment in your story, because I feel like we skipped over some important moments here, and I'm going to ask Joe this question. Joe, so you are driving every month, you know, 4 to 5 for 4 to 5 months. an hour and a half, you're seeing your wife having to take medications and injections and still go along with your regular daily life. And then every month there's that expectation and that disappointment. What was the hardest part for you in the middle of that process?
Yeah, well, you can obviously tell who the detailed oriented person is in our family. So I rely on her for specifics of history and, you know, those type of milestones. So, so I guess it was probably the toughest thing for me. And I guess what kind of played into all this is the reason that Megan had to work is because there was just a lot of ups and downs with my career path as I came out of school and just a lot of switching. I even went back to school and there's just a lot going on. And, you know, looking to be like, you know, the provider of my family and feeling like we had to rely on two incomes and just the lack of, I thought, the financial resources that kind of laid at my feet was hard because it was like, you know, well, we're only limited finances and we're, you know, we're going to drive to Cincinnati and do this stuff, but how much can we really do? And, you know, if this doesn't work, you know, what's our options? And then even other things we looked at. So that was always my thing is that I was looking as initially like, this is my fault, you know, that we're not in a place financially or just, and we took so long to try and we waited all this time and now we're ready and it doesn't happen. It's like, well, if we had done this earlier and the ovary thing would have been an issue and stuff like that. So that was just some inner struggle that I was dealing with. And of course, seeing your wife go through it, because obviously, you know, the wife is the one that really feels this, you know, and it's gut-wrenching for her on the deep level. It obviously is for the husband, but, you know, it's, I think it's innate that God has created the women just to have that desire. And so wanting that to happen, but just knowing that, as with most men, we just feel like if we're not in control, we're not comfortable. And so it was a lot of uncomfortable feelings. It's just, I can't make this happen. So, but that was initially, and, you know, so yeah, that's kind of where I was at that moment. So,
you know, the financial aspect, I remember hitting this spot in our fertility journey where, you know, you know that God can part the Red Sea. You hear the story about Abraham and Sarah conceiving in their old age. So, like, you know, he's a God of miracles. But then there's this very real just financial obstacle that seems to be like, we just need money for another treatment. And it's just so expensive. And it's just it's like this practical roadblock that's in your way.
Yeah.
And you have to wrestle with that. Like, I know God is able, but I'm also dealing in this world of practicality. And it kind of, I always felt that tension of like, I want to trust God and I know he can provide, but then also to some extent, sometimes he, you know, sometimes he just miraculously drops money out of nowhere and provides something. Sometimes he wants you to get that extra side job and like, and through, you know, sometimes he provides you the energy and the resources to earn the money.
Right.
And finding that balance of not being so busy and trying to do this in your own strength. Did y'all struggle with like, how much of this is us versus God leading?
I think we were married almost 10 years. So I think we were sort of like, I don't remember having that struggle. I was just more like, okay, we've been married long enough. We need to get this going. Had we maybe been married a year or two, it might've been different, but, we were married for so long that we were just ready to do what we needed to do. And like you said, Kendra, when I'm ready, I'm ready. I want this now. And then it wasn't happening. And I'm kind of like that in general.
Yeah.
With other things too.
I've got a plan here, Lord. Come on, get with the program.
Yeah, let's do this. So, yeah, when it wasn't happening, I kind of touched on just like the very practical timeline of what we did, but the emotional desperation of your prayers during that time. I mean, you feel like Hannah in the Bible. And I would come home from work. I lived close enough that I could do that on my lunch break. And I mean, it was ugly cry praying to please give us a baby. And so, yeah, it's months and it's even years of begging really God for that to happen. So it can be very rough. And I know our story isn't as heartbreaking as others. Thankfully, we never experienced loss. Mm-hmm. But that, when you add that on top of just the already struggle of the infertility, is just compounded.
Mm-hmm. Well, your journey might not be the same as somebody else's, but we talk about this, like the loss of a dream or what you thought your family mm-hmm. timing and plan would look like is still a loss. And like anytime you have to surrender your plan for God's, it produces character in you. And I'm curious mm-hmm. about that process of you guys pursuing foster care. Was that, did God bring some sort of, did you feel a certain level of surrender when you started pursuing that? Or was that just like you hadn't yet surrendered and you just felt like this was our only option?
Joe may want to touch in on it, but for me, like I grew up with a family member not being able to conceive, an aunt of mine, and all of her children are adopted. So from a very young age, adoption was just a normal part of life for me. I forgot to mention this. We did speak to more of a private adoption agency and just got information from them, but we decided not to go that route. So I don't think that for me, doing the route of fostering was like, you know, a discouragement or mm-hmm. anything like that. Of course, you still, I mean, through that whole process, we still tried to conceive. But since adoption was such a normal part of my upbringing, it was
a natural next step. And
yes,
maybe God is leading us this way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe may have something
for
from
me,
his perspective.
I think as far as for me, like, that was kind of like that's kind of a light bulb moment for me. I don't know exactly when in the process, but a lot of times with me personally, with our marriage, I feel like, you know, when we have these things that we're praying for and needs, and, you know, that they're God, you know, honoring things, you know, starting mm-hmm. a family, you know, mm-hmm. that's obviously, but when it doesn't happen, and I began to realize, like, it wasn't about the answer to the prayer. It was about me. Mm-hmm. And how is God wanting to changed me through this? And I think I'm hard-headed, you know, in different things. It's just I'll just be praying and realize, like, oh yeah, it's not about this. He wants me to be more content. He wants me to be more patient, whatever this might be. And it seems like whenever I allow that, and not just trick myself into, you know, doing stuff, it's like I really accept that, like, mm-hmm. okay, God, whatever your will is. I had like this idea that we were going to have kids and this is going to be the picture and all this stuff. But when I really sacrificed and laid it down to Christ, like, okay, God, whatever the answer may be, I will be content. And when I really let that grab hold of my heart, to me, it wasn't so much more of a struggle from that point, you know, like, oh, well, we've got to go do foster care or something like that. Like, I felt like, okay, that's going to be our story. If that's what it is, then God, you know best. It might not be all wanted, but I know at some point, I will look back and I will say that was obviously the exact right way this should have happened. So that was a thing that I had to go through. And at that point, it was just like, okay, God, whatever this outcome is going to be, we'll you know, trust you. My whole thing with the struggle with the foster care was just that was an eye-opening thing for me that, this was a huge commitment because these kids are in foster care for a reason, and it's not a good thing. And there's not just physical issues. There's emotional, psychological. Yeah. And so that was a huge commitment. That's why, you know, I was kind of taking the pause. Like, look, we need to make sure that we're prepared because I didn't want to bring a child into a home that we weren't prepared for and was not best for them. So it was, and I think that was just, you know, a lot of times with God, it's like we don't know which way we're really supposed to go. So we just start kind of in faith going what we think is best. And if it's not it, God will literally he'll shut the door.
And it sounds like that was necessary in your walk, that you had to go through that in order for God to accomplish what he needed to accomplish in you. Well, we are just almost about out of time, you guys. It goes by so fast. But Megan, I wanted really quickly, because flash forward, we got about a minute left. You went on to have another beautiful boy. Now you have two that you're raising, and you're a stay-at-home mama, and somehow God provided a way for you to be able to do that. Tell us about that really quickly.
Okay. My heart was always to be at home, and then when our older son was born, and it was, again, an ugly cry, desperate prayer, and I would say, I know you're able, but please be willing. And I remember when I said that, Matthew 8, and the leper coming to Jesus did the same thing. He said, I know you are willing. If you are willing, can you make me clean? And Jesus said, I am willing. Mm-hmm. And that, it was like I was that leper, but in a different position. And he did that. And I'm still amazed. I cannot believe that I get to be with them. Raise them, and it's a gift. It is such a gift.
Well, Megan and Joe, thank you guys so much. We are almost out of time. That is a beautiful story. For anyone listening, just ask the Lord, because he does long to bless his children. And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart.